You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast. It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto only at Advance Auto Parts.
I'm going to do something blasphemous.
What here. Happens?
I need to stop the weekend observations.
What?
Because
I didn't start
like 7 seconds ago.
Chris Cody just got a dookie bomb or whatever the Chris Cody dookie bomb is. Chris Cody has.
You're talking about on air or something I had going on before the show?
Before the show, Chris Cody, because we were all yelling at each other about typewriter feet, is that good or bad? He actually texted Lewis Riddick to get an answer about what typewriter feet are. And we had all sorts of different answers. And Chris Cody, I don't know if we're breaking ESPN rules. They told us we cannot talk to ESPN people around here without or have them on air without asking permission. I don't know if we can text and ask them questions, but Chris Cody has heard from Lewis Riddick. So I will stop. If you guys want to go back to weekend observations, we can and just sort of continue to tease out that I passed out in a restaurant this weekend and it required paramedics and that Chris Cody has this news. We could just go. What would be the choice internally here? What would you guys prefer to hear? Stugatz's weekend observations or Chris Cody, the Chris Cody equivalent of a dookie bomb?
Is there just a bowl of chocolate pudding in the studio? What did I miss?
Is that Jessica's cake?
No, it's my breakfast. I got an acai bowl.
Acai bowl?
Acai bowl?
Acai bowl.
What did she call it?
Acai bowl.
Acai bowl?
I didn't want to be like extra and do all the accent marks. I don't know. I don't want
to be extra.
You don't know how to pronounce acai.
I don't know how to pronounce anything. I don't even know how to pronounce my last name.
What should we do here, Mike? Make an executive call. Weekend observations or Chris Cody's news?
Well, I wish I was asked before we interrupted the weekend observations. It's a popular Monday benchmark, but go ahead with the dookie bomb.
All right, we were talking earlier about typewriter for feet and if that's a compliment to an offensive lineman. So I texted Lewis Riddick, who I've never spoken to before. I just got his number, just the way we get numbers around here. You see it, you put it in your phone.
Right.
So I texted him, quote, is typewriter for feet a compliment for an offensive lineman? His response, one word, yes.
Okay.
Hold on, there's more.
More than one word?
He dropped a dookie.
The interesting thing he did there, he put a period at the end. Like when you send a one word response, do you put a period at the end of it?
No.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Unless you're making a point that you don't want to keep talking.
Oh, that's true. Well, precisely. I responded. I thought that was going to be enough, but Amin was like, no, you got more information.
Present.
So I wrote, what is the analogy? He responded, two words, no period this time. Quick feet.
The translation there is that he doesn't want to be texting you.
But I think the translation is that it's a compliment for an offensive lineman, and that Stugatz and I were right.
Yep.
Amin, what is your problem? Why are you indignant?
Because when Chris said, hey, I texted him and he said,
it's a good thing. I said, yeah, we know that. What we needed to know is what part of the typewriter analogy was he referring to.
But we don't know that. Some people were saying that typewriter for feet meant slow feet.
We knew that it was a good thing. We just didn't understand why it was a good thing, because it conjures bad images.
Exactly. So then when we asked, I told Chris, ask him specifically, what part of the typewriter is he referring to? Chris's answer is to ask him, what's the analogy? Which, of course, makes him sound like an oaf. That's why Louis Riddick replied the way he did.
I was trying to keep it short. He doesn't know me. He probably literally is just responding to a text with no number.
Chris, please say on your next text, okay, I am now calling, or I'm now texting on behalf of the Lebatard Show, and forgive me for just burying you in questions on this. We need to understand the analogy. Ask a third follow-up, and we'll see if we'll have an answer after Stugatz's weekend observation. Stugatz, I'm sorry I interrupted all of this for Chris Cody doing his equivalent of a dookie bomb.
Wait, so you want him to add Lebatard Show to give it some weight, to give it some...
some literal weight, but also I want him to get an answer to our question that isn't two words and doesn't answer our question.
What is the answer we're looking for?
What part of the typewriter?
Part of the typewriter is he talking about quick feet? Like, is he talking about you hit the keys and they move faster, that you shift it and he moves well laterally? Because on a typewriter, you move it, you hit it on the side and you move it. We want to understand the details. Let's do the damn weekend
observations. Tell me you think it works better for knees than feet also.
Right. How about typewriters for knees? Ask him about that.
Yeah.
Where was it? Dan! He walked off the Citi Field mound to a rousing ovation in the 2015 World Series after Terry Collins murdered his arm. Many, including myself, thought we'd never hear from him again. But Dan, after three consecutive wins for the Orioles, make no mistake about it, the fake ace, Matt Harvey, is back.
Wow.
The Dark Knight, Kyle Trask, is going to have to wait at least a decade before he makes his first NFL start. Dan Campbell only drafts tackles who bite knees. Just knee-biting tackles. That's it. Sorry, Mike. Tim Tebow, back to the NFL. I'm no sleuth, but I'm guessing this has Urban Meyer's fingerprints all over it. A bride and groom attempted to hold their marriage at a Fort Lauderdale mansion without permission from the owner.
I'm a vigilante.
Claiming it was God's plan. Bride and groom, the Stugatz is strong in you. Also, heady play. Also, I don't blame them. When Michael has a plan for you, you follow it. Michael has a plan for everyone. MJ, Arizona Cardinals, B. Tim Tebow, starting over Trevor Lawrence, collision course. A traveler was busted trying to hide methamphetamines in his breakfast burrito at the William P. Hobby Houston Airport. Had no idea Dan was traveling over the weekend.
Is that what happened to you?
H-Town. WPH. The Sacramento Kings are close. Dan.
What? Close to what?
You know what the K in King stands for? It stands for close.
I'm a vigilante.
Kyle Trask. Congratulations on being able to stand really close to Tom Brady. Dan, you know what the K in Kyle stands for?
No.
Close to Brady. Please, people keep... What did I do there? What happened there, Mike? I said please. It was people. I said please. People keep asking me how I like the Jets draft. To those people, I'm just happy they didn't trade their pick to the Panthers for Sam Darnold. About the Packers doing everything they can to keep Aaron Rodgers, including drafting his brother, Amari. Houston Texans, C-. Amari Rodgers was the first wide receiver the Packers have drafted in the first three rounds of the draft since 2015. Wonder why he wants to leave. In the history of Meet Me in the Tunnel, has anyone ever actually met in the tunnel? Jason Tatum, the rare 60 burger with a side of how the hell were you trailing by 32 points at the half to the Spurs? LeBron said his return was a good start. They lost. Good loss? In news that was totally unnecessary to report, John Lynch said Jimmy Garoppolo was the first person to text Trey Lance after the pick. Well, Dan, one of the great urban myths was debunked over the weekend. The GM who never trades down in the draft is not a real thing. LA Chargers, A-. By the way, how does Lynch know the exact order of all the texts Trey Lance received after he was selected? Lynch.
Anyway.
Prove it. Until then, I'm taking the N, the C, and the H off of your last name. John Y.
Anyway.
Prove it.
You're a joke.
And you'll get the N, the C, and the H back. Dan, the frogs are coming.
What?
They're coming.
What do you mean they're...
It's getting hot out. It's humid. I'm certain you've noticed. The frogs are coming. Have you noticed?
I have not noticed that the frogs are coming.
Well, I'm telling you, they're coming.
Anyway.
Brighton.
Now, where was I?
And Hove Albion. Big results against Leeds. Graham Potter turning in to the survival specialist. We all had Sam Allardyce.
Oh, Jesus.
What happened there?
I mean...
What's the matter with that? Sam Allardyce. You guys go to hell with your soccer observations, man.
I mean, they're your observations.
Say hi to Art. We all had Sam Allardyce pegged as Big Sam. The hell just happened?
You brutalized.
Let's do it again.
No.
Yeah, I want to try it again. Brighton and Hove Albion. Big result against Leeds. Graham Potter turning into the survival specialist. We all had Sam Allardyce pegged as Big Sam. Nailed it. Right? I got it. Dan, you know why they had no idea the Kentucky Derby was this past weekend? Because like I told you, the second a horse won the Triple Crown, horse racing, dead.
Just like soccer.
Steph Curry hit some twos. Seriously. One trick pony. Want to impress me? Couple of pull-up J's from the elbow. Couple of turnaround hooks from the low post.
Really?
Seriously.
I'm a vigilante.
Enough with the threes.
So you want him to do some Kareem. You want some Skyhook.
Mix in some twos.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Okay. Just want to make sure.
Couple baby elbow J's. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
A little touch. The NL East. Bad. The NL West. Good. The San Francisco Giants are good. And I'm fairly certain I can't name anyone on their team. Baseball. Titans. B. Is Brandon Belt still hanging around?
Yes, he is.
No way.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. He's still playing first place for the Giants?
Brandon Belt is still on the Giants.
Is he still batting 142?
He's still on the Giants, I swear. You thought you were making a joke about a Giant who was no longer there?
Yes. Ryan Terrio?
I don't know.
Ryan Vogelsberg?
Posey's still on there.
Vogelsong? I called him Vic Darensberg. Big Sam. Draft week. Blazers. Mom died. Watch out. Here come the Nuggets. Sixers. Heating up. Wait until Phoenix Suns fans find out that Chris Paul is incapable of making it to the NBA Finals. Congratulations to Tim Tebow, who was the last to realize the Mets were using him to draw fans to minor league games and never had any intention of promoting him to the big leagues. The bigs. Death, taxes, and bangers every weekend in MLS. Seth Wickersham, deep dive, Packers organization, collision course. I heard someone say over the weekend, the Bears haven't had a franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman. I got nothing else.
Just the name Sid Luckman.
Do you know the last year Sid Luckman played in the NFL, Dan?
1960s?
1950. Sid Luckman. Fired Tennessee football coach Shelton Felton is now coaching at a Georgia high school. I don't really have much on this other than if your last name is Felton, your parents simply cannot name you Shelton. Shelfell. That's it. Oh, my God. Northwestern, North Carolina, women's lacrosse championship game, collision course. There's an FCS quarterfinal on ESPN. It's May. Hell is going on. Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
I don't think we had nearly enough fun with the idea that Jessica does not know how to pronounce the breakfast she's eating.
I mean, I think I think it was fine how I said it. I don't know. I didn't know you guys were. I didn't know Chris Whittingham had influenced all of you in this way where you have to correct the pronunciation. No.
It's very obviously acai, Dan.
Right.
I mean, it's probably problematic if Sugats is like acai.
That is, it's bad. I mean, my kids order them all the time. Acai bowls.
I didn't know about until about 20 minutes ago.
What did you call it?
I mean, in the pyramid of people that botched that, I called it chocolate pudding earlier.
Yeah, what? You thought it was pudding.
It's like, why is there chocolate pudding in the studio?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
A reminder that because we are having some Meadowlark meetings in town this week, that we will not be doing a show on Tuesday as usual, but we will be doing a Wednesday show. So you will not get the usual assortment of Tuesday Greg Cody that you get, but we will give you your three shows this week. It's just going to be Wednesday instead of Tuesday. Want to get to some stuff with Trey Lance and the draft. But before we do that, I just want to play this sound. John Amici is very good on a number of different subjects, and he has a way of saying things that don't make it combative in today's day and age, which is a difficult thing to arrive at, where you can listen to John Amici, you can have a different perspective than he does, but he delivers it. I've told you this before. His tone on message is so strong that you might not like his message, but he always keeps it even and reaches across to reach everybody, not looking for a fight, but just explaining things in ways that can't really be argued. So here is John Amici's definition of privilege. Privilege is one of these words now that has been weaponized, and the people in privilege don't like to be accused of privilege. And so just listen to John Amici on this subject, because he has a way of unwrapping these things that is pretty inarguable.
We've been engaged in a global conversation about race and racism. You've probably had discussions at home, at school, or at work, and in those conversations, you've probably heard the term white privilege. You may have even had this term used in a way that felt like an insult or an accusation. Others will have told you that it's all just made up to make white people feel bad, and none of this is right. Privilege is a hard concept for people to understand, because normally when we talk of privilege, we imagine immediate unearned riches and tangible benefits for anyone who has it. But white privilege, and indeed all privilege, is actually more about the absence of inconvenience, the absence of an impediment or challenge. And as such, when you have it, you really don't notice it. But when it's absent, it affects everything you do. There are lots of types of privilege out there. The privilege of being born into a wealthy family versus a poor family is kind of obvious. But then there's the privilege of being able-bodied versus having or acquiring a disability that most of us take for granted. I have two very close friends who are wheelchair users, and I'll be honest, when I first met them, I was completely ignorant about the everyday ways their lives are made harder through no fault of their own. Some of these ways are simply thoughtless, but some of them are just the way we live, just the way we build infrastructure, just the way everything works, that just makes their life harder than mine. That's just one of the ways that I'm privileged. And understanding that, embracing that, doesn't make me a bad person. But ignoring it raises the chance that my friends will be excluded in ways that are not obvious to me. And as their friend, I can't allow that. There's a good chance, as a white person watching this, your life is already hard. Every day you have to overcome some difficulty or challenge just to get by, but you can still have white privilege. White privilege doesn't mean you haven't worked hard or you don't deserve the success you've had. It doesn't mean that your life isn't hard or that you've never suffered. It simply means that your skin color has not been the cause of your hardship or suffering. There is nothing but a benefit to understanding our own privileges, white and otherwise. It brings us closer to those who are different. It helps us be vigilant about the ways we treat others different than us. It helps us make a society that is fairer and more equal. Having white privilege doesn't make your life easy, but understanding it can help you realize why some people's lives are harder than they should be.
So, Stugatz, there are a number of different places, right, where I am reminded of the blind spots I have or where my privilege resides. I've told you before, I never have given a thought to walking to my car at 8 o'clock at night and worried that somebody might be behind me thinking about doing something bad to me. And when it regards the privilege of that Amici is talking about there, I was talking with a friend of mine this weekend about something that happened to him that had simply never crossed my mind. It is something I had never thought of. He was in a park that restricted dogs, and it was very obviously that dogs were restricted, and his child, an older woman, allowed her dog to get away, and her child injured his son. And what my friend, a black man, described was impotent rage, because he said, in this climate, I cannot be angry with that woman because there is no situation where me calling the police makes anything better. That's how he described it. And so he just described it as an impotent rage that his child that he wanted to protect, that he wanted to light up this woman. And it's something I'd never considered, that if someone does something to anger me in public, that I can't do it. Because if I have a situation where the police are called and it's me, he's a muscular black dude, and he's yelling at a woman who is frail, and she decides that that is an escalation that is that warrants the police.
You have an idea of what's going to happen if you do make that call.
It's just not something I've ever considered in a moment of anger. The idea that he described it as an impotent rage, because who doesn't understand listening to this what a parent feels trying to protect a child, even if you don't have children? Like, whatever would rise up with you that your child is harmed, your child is bleeding, somebody has broken the rules, you want to say something, you are angry. Nope, got to muffle it. Got to keep it down, because whatever's coming that looks like help to you does not look like help to me. It's legitimately to me, I'm listening to him, right? And this is the same friend I told you. Right. He saw a dude dead at a bus stop, wanted to go help the dude who was dead at a bus stop, but did not want to be a black man standing over a dead white man. And so he had to call from a distance because he wanted to help somebody that he thought was dead. They're just not things that I consider in my day-to-day, as much as I talk about this stuff, that is not a thought that has ever crossed my mind, that if someone is in peril, I have to be careful about standing over them because of whatever the misinterpretations on translations the people who are arriving to the emergency are making, just because they've never had to consider these things either.
It's hard to put yourself in other people's shoes, but when Amici lays it out like that, it seems fairly simple. You and I can make that call standing right over the body, and no one's going to question a thing. We're just making a call and we're trying to help, right? And
so it's just stuff I haven't considered when it comes to some of these conversations. And all he's telling you, all the way that he's defining privilege, all he's telling is, are you willing to accept that this isn't me accusing you of anything? It's not an indictment, that there might be blind spots there that are not an accusation. There just might be blind spots on stuff you haven't considered.
Yeah, I think the toughest thing when it comes to and Dan, you're so right about like the weaponizing of words. Like, you can't say privilege anymore without people just shutting down. And it seems like any word that we over the last 5 to 10 years has tried to like cut through the clutter to name something specific has been then weaponized so that you can't even use it. You have to dance around it. We can't just say privilege anymore. We have to like construct some big, you know, paragraph to be able to explain privilege in a way that we have never had to do before. But I think what I've noticed about the idea of privilege and white privilege is that every single person seems to have the so many of us seem to have the belief that we're the underdog. No matter where you were born into in life, everyone adopts the mentality of an underdog. Like even people born into rich families then, and this can be very true, feel like sometimes that wealth can be a hindrance in ways. So it's like everyone wants to believe they're an underdog. And if anyone suggests that you are not an underdog, people's like gut reactions are to say that, no, you have it wrong. Like you haven't seen the inside of my life. And I think getting over that hurdle that like, look, we can all be underdogs in certain ways. Like I'm an underdog in certain ways. And then there's a lot of ways in which I'm not. I was born into a family that stuck together, parents that were present, like all of these different ways where I'm like, I can't claim an underdog status there, but I can claim it over here. And if we kind of rearrange our minds to say, yeah, you can be both. In some facets, you can be have a power position, and in others, you still can play that underdog role. We might get a little farther in stepping into other people's shoes.
I thought that that was the thing that he said that anybody could understand there. I mean, he did it with the disabled, and he also did it there, where he said, hey, if I'm saying, hey, you might have a blind spot here that's privilege related, I'm not saying your life was easy. I'm not saying that somehow you were gifted all sorts of things. I'm simply saying, do you want to check over here on something that you may not have considered? But Stugatz, like I really...
A lot of people have a hard time believing
but
that.
But Stugatz...
Still, I mean, I can't believe that, but they still have a hard time believing the color of your skin is the reason why bad things are happening
okay,
to
but
you.
I just gave you an example that's pretty indisputable, I think, and what I would say to you as we've arrived in 2021 here with some of the stuff that we went through last summer, what I feel like is often happening in these conversations, even if you want to limp in ever so gently, I feel like so many of these conversations are me simply arguing on behalf of human decency and being polarizing because the opposite of human decency is you're infringing on my freedom by asking me to consider decency as it regards others. You are infringing upon my ability to breathe freely without a mask because you're asking me to consider decency. Go bleep yourself. And like, there are no healthy conversations to be had from either side when everyone's telling the other side to shut the bleep up. I don't want to hear about what you think my blind spots are. I don't have blind spots, which is the very definition of having blind spots.
The interesting thing to me is that Stugatz said, well, it's hard to be in someone else's shoes. I really don't think it is hard to be in someone else's shoes on big things. But I think one of the things that has kind of grown in the conversation is that it's smaller and smaller things. It's the kind of example that you gave. And so I do think that where the impingement upon freedom comes is, well, how many different ways am I imposing upon you? And like, I recede into a shell because I like there's so many different
stop
ways in which I'm imposing.
Stop telling me how many ways
exactly.
I'm hurting you. Stop telling me mm-hmm. that the color of my skin is the reason that you're hurt because of the color of your skin.
But discovering those points of ignorance are really important, right? Like discovering the small ways in which being black is hard is actually more relatable than the big ways in which being black is hard. And so, like, I do think that those examples are absolutely monumental to figuring that stuff out.
Well, what I liked from that clip was that the way that he explained that privilege is baked into the system. For example, my mom is a wheelchair walker user. She's a brain cancer survivor. And the ways that it's difficult for her to just do daily tasks because of how an airport bathroom is designed or, you know, whatever public space the sidewalk is, it's not fair to those people. And we don't consider that those are conscious choices that we've made that make life harder for other people. And so I think it's easier to have, maybe it's gotten a little bit easier to have these conversations about white privilege or able-bodied privilege or whatever you want to call it. But it's harder to undo the structures and the specifically like it literally infrastructure of certain designs and things that have made life harder for people that have been marginalized historically in this country and in the world.
Well, Jess, you make a good point because I think in sports we've seen over the last 5 years, there were things that people were saying existed, right? Like whether you're talking about, you know, domestic violence or the behavior of owners, and we didn't actually believe it until we had video. Like we always talk about, like, okay, now we have the Ray Rice video. Oh, now we understand what that is. And I think when it comes to privilege, it's similar in that think about our country like someone who, like your mom, right? How they see the world. Like, there's actual structural issues to be able, you can't go to restaurants, you can't travel, all of these different things. Now imagine that that exists when you're talking about skin color. Like, they're actually, the structures are actually in place, but they're invisible. Therefore, if they're in a lot of ways invisible, sometimes we're clearly, they're being made visible. But imagine the same way if you were in a wheelchair, you can't get around this country. And that is a physical thing we can all picture. Now there's all these invisible. What if I told you that there's invisible structural issues now? Can we actually apply that logic, or do we need it to be rendered in 3D before
I'd go another step on that, because yeah, with Ray Rice, the most controversial thing that we had seen in this realm in sports, we finally had the video and we had the conversation of, well, what did you think that looked like when a man beat the holy hell out of a woman? It's being able to see it that has the visceral response. Now think about what Kate's saying there, Stugatz, where she's saying these invisible frustrations, and then the people that are screaming about the invisible frustrations are, they're not invisible to me. Right. I see them. Can you hear me on this? And the answer is no, go bleep yourself. I'm not interested in decency. I want to be someone who is alt-right and is not at all interested in whatever your complaints are, because I don't want to see this thing that you're shouting at me at, and you're saying it's not a ghost. This isn't invisible. This is something that impacts me when my child is bleeding and I can't call for help. And all I'm going home with is this impotent rage of, I can't do anything to that woman. I can't do anything to the system. I just need to go home quietly and eat it.
You would like people to say, hey, I take your word on it. You have it way rougher than I do. But unfortunately, because this is how it's been for so long, that people just have a hard way of breaking out of their beliefs. So I hate to say this, but a lot of people need to see it rather than actually imagine it. And that's just...
It's not a lot of people that need to see it. It's the people in power,
right,
who want to cling to that power and not change, who need to see it and then still stubbornly will argue what are facts with you because they don't want to see it. You can't choose... You cannot prove to somebody who is blind and chooses to be blind that something is visible. It's not possible. How do you do it? If someone is choosing to be blind, how are you explaining to them in a way that reaches them, hey, you're blind on this. You're blind. Can you stop being blind? The answer is no. No, I want to argue about the semantics and defund the police. But you don't want to see. Like, do you want to see or do you not want to see? Because the way it's been laid out here, I feel like is inarguable. But I'm going to get called woke and I'm going to be too hot for ESPN because I'm the polarizing. Scott, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, I know my tone is bad all the time, but the thing that makes me politically polarizing is consistently calling for something that feels to me like human decency.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong at all. That's what you've always, I've been doing it for 20 years with you, and what you've always called for is equality, is human decency. It's never as much about black or white. It's about treat humans decent.
But how is that controversial? What is controversial about the story I just told you? What parent in our audience cannot understand something has happened and I'm not allowed to be angry because I'm going to make it worse? Or I run the risk of making it worse and more unfair. So my best solution, the thing that will numb the pain the best, it's the best of bad options, is to just eat the indignity and go bandage my child as my child bleeds. Just to eat it. I can't protect my child because what comes after this anger and this woman might be something that takes me away from my child so that I can never protect my child.
So was it bottomless mimosas that got you?
It was not drinking. It was not the drinks that got me.
What was it?
It was dehydration.
Yeah, the drinks caused dehydration, man. It's okay.
Yep.
I'd had one drink with dinner. And
how many did you have with lunch?
40.
Wait. Did he tell the story already?
No, man. Lunch, 40 drinks.
So this is the backstory, and we will try and find the funny in it. But when I think about it, it is scary and embarrassing, because what happened is that I am at a restaurant. My wife and I are trying to celebrate her birthday. We have not had We have not been out doing anything fun for more than a year. And so we wanted to go have an early dinner and then go have music and celebrate her birthday. And the fact that this is a happy time for us and Metal Lark Media. And at 6 p.m., hugely early dinner, I end up feeling at the table something that feels dizzying and faint and hot. And I tell my wife, because I can see sort of the fear on her face, I tell her, hold on, I'm fine, just let me get it together. But then I feel the need, like, people probably did think I was drunk because I put my elbow on the table and my head on my elbow because I was feeling some dizziness and some nausea. And then the next thing I remember is waking up underneath the table with my scared wife next to me looking at me, and I don't know what happened to that period of time. So I try to sit up and try to, like, soothe her or make her less scared, and next thing I know, paramedics are there because I don't have my bearings. I'm trying to tell her that I'm okay. It sounds like I had 40 drinks at lunch, but I'm trying to tell her that everything's going to be fine, that she has no reason to fear. And then the next thing I know, I'm lifted through a restaurant that's crowded with people, and I could sort of see the faint horror of people looking as I am leaving the restaurant on some sort of stretcher.
So embarrassing.
That had to be an awful scene at the Chili's during 2-for-1.
El Presidente Margarita.
I thought you were Chinese buffet, 24-hour university.
You get an IV? God, dehydration IV is the best.
I didn't get an IV. What I did is I drank so much water that I didn't sleep well because I was going to the bathroom every 30 minutes throughout the night because I was just guzzling so much water.
It's almost worth it, Billy, to get dehydrated, right?
Yeah, to get the IV. Oh, you feel like a superhero after getting an IV if you're dehydrated.
I went to a bachelor party 5 years ago with a bunch of firefighters, and they came prepared. My God. Now, I didn't want to be the first one to get the IV because that one was messy. Because I had the trainee do that one, but a bunch of IVs hanging off of
the
hotel hangers.
They party so much that they bring their own IVs to make sure they don't get sick.
They don't mess around.
Yeah,
man.
It was amazing.
What happens at the Nash Bash stays at a Nash Bash, Dan.
I was dehydrated a couple years ago before the Super Bowl, and then I went to the Super Bowl and I fell asleep during it for work.
What?
We can tell that story another day.
Which Super Bowl? Yeah.
The really boring Patriots-Rams one, like 2 years ago.
What, a 10-6 game or something?
13-3. I felt awful, and I just fell asleep in the press box.
Dan, a couple of years ago at Summer League, Bleacher Report blew out a whole lot of money on parties, and they had a suite at the Aria. Its whole purpose was just IVs, so that, like, you would go out, you'd party the night before, you'd check in at the Aria suite, get an IV for 30 minutes, come back, you're good as gold. My buddy Master told me about that one.
That's a good one right there. That's the way to party. I'm going to have Metal Lark just bring in a bunch of IVs right now.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love that the solution is to build in infrastructure to help with hangovers and not to drink a little bit less. Right. No. Build in the infrastructure. Yeah.
Don't they have like
those little hangover station?
Yeah.
Don't they have those regeneration stations all over Vegas where it's like get some oxygen or something like that?
Yes.
Like, have you ever done that before?
No.
It seems
scam. I don't trust that. Like, I would like a trained medical professional only giving me an IV and oxygen, not a firefighter at a bachelor party. No offense, Mike. That just does not sound good for me.
Well, he's probably trained. Those firefighters probably trained.
Is that a bachelor party you're attending? If it's a bachelor party with firefighters, that sounds like a bad night. Like, just a terrible evening. In a good way. Yes.
There was one dude that walked with, like, his top half. The top half of his body was pointing at 3 o'clock. For 72 straight hours. He'd walk down the sidewalk. Shout out to Kyle Stewart. He'd walk down the sidewalk. Just his top half of his body at 3 o'clock. Bottom half, asserting as a rail. It's incredible. It's amazing.
You're describing like Masvidal when he got hit and his chin was on Usman's
shoulder. This was the first time. Imagine meeting somebody for the first time and they displayed this amazing power, but all his friends got used to it. No, that's kind of, he literally gets tipsy. And I guess that's where it came from, because a stiff breeze would have put the guy over. It was incredible. At one point, he was just walking in circles. Because he could only turn right, like Zoolander.
Can you imagine my embarrassment being on the floor of a restaurant, opening my eyes and seeing that people were recognizing me?
I cannot.
And then ordering dessert.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this. Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.